1.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values, political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs.
Welcome to a special edition of Signs of the Times. I'm your host, Greg Hilt, and thanks for joining us. Yes, you can hear me, but you can't see me. And yes, it's a dream come true for all of us. But you can't see me today because we had to move my camera into Pastor Mark's studio because, yes, we have a special guest. And here to tell you more about him is Pastor Mark.
Yes, and what a special guest we have. We are so blessed to have today Pastor Jack Hibbs from Chino Hills, California. And I don't have to say thank you so much for being here. We are blessed.
Well, I'm telling you, we're blessed to be here, excited.
Well, you know, this is interesting because when we made the plans for you to be here, you may not even have known this because your guy we were working with, we had scheduled like a 30-minute pre-recorded thing we could do on the radio, and instead now we have you live for a whole hour.
I'm excited. Yeah. All the more.
Yeah, so that's great. Thrilling. No, it's great. Now, again, there's so much to talk about, Jack, yeah. And so this is great, you know, that we have just time to do this. First thing I want to do is, I know things are going great in Chino Hills. God's been doing an amazing work there, but you're like Mr. Crosshairs. Like everywhere you go, you're getting shot at. Yeah. And I know you're probably tired of talking about what happened recently. I'm wondering in the congressional thing, has that all passed as far as, you know, see, whether it's the governor or whether it's saying a prayer, right. It seems like people are chasing you down for whatever the reason. And by the way, the prayer was fantastic. I heard the prayer, but what's the latest on that? Is anybody still pursuing you on what you did there on that?
Yeah, they actually are. They really? Are. There's 26 members that have signed a letter of condemnation regarding that prayer. In addition to that condemnation, they want an investigation on the selection process of how a pastor or a clergyman is approved to pray.
Oh, my.
And so it comes out to this. What they're trying to do, they're leveraging my prayer to try to get a more restrictive requirement in place regarding the freedom of speech, regarding the free exercise of religion thereof, right? The 26 members of a Democrat Congress, mind you, every single one of them are Democrats in this particular Congress that filed that condemnation of my prayer. No, they're using it.
Yeah.
And so, look, to be honest with you, Pastor Mark, if they're using a prayer, listen, this is a secret between you and I. If they're using a prayer that I happen to have crafted from previous founding fathers,
yep,
and previous clergy dating back to 1774, I just put my modern English onto it.
Yeah.
They couldn't recognize that. They disagree with that, which is wholly un-American,
yeah,
and certainly unbiblical.
Yeah. Again, you could probably take the prayers of the past and just read them. They still have their heads blow off.
Epic. But truly.
I know. But what does the condemnation mean? Basically, that'll have another pastor come in that can say whatever he wants. Or what does that mean?
Well, it means this, that you are to sign on to. In fact, I have to tell you that they told me up front, you can't mention the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
When you say amen, you can say,
yeah,
in your name, you can say thank you. You can say God, generic.
Right.
Can't say Jesus, can't say the cross, can't say anything that would lead to or come across as being received as proselytizing. So in having known our American history and studied those previous prayers, I had to make a decision right then and there on the spot, and that was the prayer that I gave. And people can see it on C-SPAN or wherever, but I just simply prayed in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. The very first sentence, I violated five rules, I was told. And so it's a short prayer, but it was a biblically accurate prayer. And it was clearly communicated to me that I would not be invited back.
You probably knew that already, right?
Yeah. And so I have to tell you, I coming here last night to come see you.
Right.
It was the first time I'd flown since that prayer. And I had been warned by a few people, you may find out, Jack, at the gate that you have, that you're on a no-fly list.
No.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And when she scanned it and that little light at the gate turned green, I got on and I thought, I'm not on there yet. I'm going to Knoxville.
Wow, it's just so unreal. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, the whole thing about it is so ridiculous. I mean, but I had to find out what the latest was.
That's the latest.
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, hopefully that's going to be something that'll blow over. I mean, I don't, you know, I remember one time they asked for a Calvary pastor to go at some event. We had something locally and they wanted a Calvary pastor. I don't know why. I didn't know anybody. Nobody told me, hey, they're calling for a Calvary pastor. But it was Dick Cheney was here.
Yeah.
And it was actually, I say here, it was actually in Santa Fe when I was there. And they wanted a Calvary Chapel pastor. So they said, same thing. You can't pray in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I told him, I said, you got the wrong guy.
Not coming.
I'm not coming. And then it was like real frustrated on the other end. It's like, well, okay, go ahead. But don't say much more. And I kid you not, I finished the prayer. It wasn't like I didn't, it was just in Jesus' name, right? And I prayed over them like
right
you should.
On.
And some lady runs right up to me just about how offended she was. I mean, she made a beeline to me. To complain to her. So when I heard that, I was like, it doesn't surprise me a bit.
Well, you know what was funny? When I said amen and I stepped off that podium, there were seven congressmen and women who came to me and hugged me and said, we've not heard a biblical prayer in years.
I love it. I love
so
it.
That was amazing. I thought it was going to be roses and champagne, so to speak, from that moment on.
Yeah.
Well, when I got home, it was another story because it was all over the press. But you know what's amazing about what you just said is the fact that we have a unique opportunity here in the United States, and that is we've got a government that is founded upon Judeo-Christian values.
That's right.
And so that First Amendment's the First Amendment for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't exercise a muscle and you lose it.
That's right.
And so we need to remember that. But, you know, I pray, at least I don't know how it is in Tennessee, although I hope it's this way. I look around your church and what's happening, and it is this way, like back home in California. People are waking up.
Yeah, they are.
And I think the nation's going to be shocked to discover how much people have woken up in California.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing.
You know, what I find and what I've seen what God's doing in Chino Hills and just watching from a distance and what I've seen here, Jack, is that I think there's this, a lot of pastors are afraid to be bold and just say the hard stuff and say it straight like it is because they're afraid maybe, I don't know, what people will leave or won't, whatever their motive is. Here's what I find. The more straightforward and the more firm, the larger the church gets. And that's exactly what you do. I know it's true. It's, people are afraid if they would just be obedient, they'd be blessed.
You and I should start a church growth method. What would that be? Tell people the truth.
That's
Jesus
right.
said, my sheep hear my voice.
That's
they'll follow
right.
me. That's all you need to know. I'm not knocking getting a seminary degree. I'm not knocking it. But listen, when was the last time you got a degree, so to speak, in just give the people his voice?
That's right.
Which is his word, of course.
That's right.
And you and I are experiencing the profound, uncontrollable blessings. During COVID, for example, we baptized over three weekends, three Saturdays, we baptized 3,011 people.
Wow.
During COVID.
Wow.
Our attendance went from 10,000 to 15,000 a weekend. Why? Because people, when the times are rough, Pastor Mark, people search for truth.
Yeah.
And if we don't do it as leaders, then you know what? The flock is going to go find someone who is.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You and I would rather have good men of God in the pulpit speak up and be, carefree about your board of elders if they're against you speaking truth.
Right.
Listen, let them fire you.
Yeah.
Speak truth. God is going to promote you.
That's right. That's right.
But don't let anyone hinder you. And by the way, if you are out there in Radio Land and you are a board member, you need to encourage your pastor, as long as it's biblical.
That's right.
Go for it,
that's
pastor.
That's right. Absolutely. I love it. You know, I was going to bring this up later because I want to get into Israel. We've got a lot to talk about with Israel, so I don't want to take too much time here because I want to leave time for that. And we have time, I think. But I wanted to ask you about this anyway, and it brings up a great point because one of the things that you did, Jack, and something God convicted me to do as well, is that, you know, look, they said the house is on fire. COVID-19, everybody's going to die. So you get all the kids out. You look at the house, you see if it's going to burn down. You're like, this house is not on fire. It's not burning down. We need to go back to into our home and get going. So you pause it for a minute, get back then and get going. Well, part of the growth that we experienced was during that time. Churches shut down. We kept going. You exploded during that time. And so I set that up to say this. And again, I don't know if I want to get sidetracked into potential election stuff and what's coming up with our country. But look, I think you know as well as I do, we're probably going to see some more shenanigans the closer we get to the election. What happens when the next pandemic or whatever comes on the scene? I know the answer, but I want you to say, when the church is told, look, you've got to shut down, you shouldn't be there. Again, I know what you're going to say, but let's hear it. I mean, because, again, you did it, and you set an example really for so many people.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor Mark, I believe, look, I'm not making this up. I'm not a prophet, and I have not had a vision. But let's just play with me for a second.
Yeah.
Another pandemic has to come.
Yeah.
Something's got to come.
It's got to.
Violence, something in the street, something to curtail election, doesn't matter what it is. I don't really care about that. I care about this. That is the church doing church, pastors being pastors.
Right.
So what's the conclusion? No matter what in this world, no matter what, what you and I traffic in is truth.
Right.
And there's nothing that can scare truth. There's nothing that can curtail truth. There is nothing. In fact, the truth is so much more powerful against the lie that I believe a lie runs when the truth shows up.
Right.
Having said that, with the next dynamic, whatever it might be that's coming, you and I are going to do what we've learned out of the book of Acts to do. We are going to do it. Right. We're going to be the church. Our governor made it very clear that you have to fall into a category of essential or non-essential.
Right.
And we noticed that in those camps, he never placed the church. So I contacted his office. He refused to acknowledge where the church fell.
Really?
Yes.
I thought he said the church was non-essential. I didn't understand
that. No, he didn't even put the church in any category.
Interesting.
I sent him a 15-minute long video that I made public, by the way. It's probably still out there. And it was directly to him, giving him honor in the position.
Right.
Yet this is what the church is. This is what we must do.
Right.
That same pattern, this is what's beautiful. That same pattern of honoring the authorities that are over us, yet obeying God.
Yes.
Okay, that's a great combo.
Right.
Honor the authorities, but obey God.
Right.
And so, which really comes down to this, Mr. Governor Newsom, sir, I understand where you're coming from, but because you haven't listed the church in any category, I'd like to say to you that the church is neither essential or non-essential. The church is transcendent.
Wow.
And because of that, we are open and we're loving on people. We're taking care of people. We're helping our local city and county. We really were.
Yeah.
Financially and all kinds of other ways.
Yeah.
And Mr. Governor, if you need any help from us, please let us know. No, I'm serious.
No, I know, but I love it. I'm laughing because I love it.
And so we're going to do that again.
Yeah.
Well, for what? I don't know for what. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing for you and I is that our target never moves.
Right.
Our target is to obey God. And when a governor, somebody might be stressing out right now, say, no, you've got to obey the government no matter what. Romans 13.
Yeah.
Read Romans 13 again carefully.
Yeah.
Romans 13 says that God has appointed that person in authority over us for them to do good.
Right. Right.
Newsom abandoned his mantle of doing good.
Interesting.
And so we had to make sure that the church continued.
Interesting. Yeah. And of course, we only obey the government up until the higher authority, God, obviously. I mean, but that's a great point. I love that. So so the bottom line is that don't forsake the assembly together.
Never.
If it happens again, you know, don't forsake. And you know, what's interesting to me about that, Jack, and I know you know this again, preaching the choir, as they say, talking to another pastor who's way down the road beyond where I am. But the thing that really stuck out to me with that, he said, especially as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. And so get this. So when Jesus talked in Matthew 24 about all the plagues of the last days. There you go.
I'm open there.
I'm stealing your thunder. But when he said Matthew 24 about the last days and the plagues, he said that knowing that in the last days, COVID-19, these kind of bird flu, whatever is going to happen. And he said to the church, now in that context, go to church.
Go to church.
Don't you forsake the assembling. And I love it because, again, you either have to say, look, I'm going to give in to fear or I'm going to obey the Lord. It forces the Christian one side or the other. I love it.
Everything you just said is true. And you know, listen, you and I are rejoicing over this right now because we have one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The Word of God is our existence. With what you just said, fear, notice, when COVID hit, or let's say, you know, I mean, whatever's coming next, it could be war, you know, this warning with
Israel,
the other warning, whatever it might be, it's not going to whatever happens in the Middle East is not going to stay there.
Right.
But when something happens, the church is the haven of logic, reason. The church is the haven of hope, salvation.
That's right.
And so when people say, oh, I'm scared, please, friends, please take this the right way. I'm not bashing anybody. If you're sickly and your immune system's compromised or you're going through chemotherapy or you have issues, you should wear a mask. I get that. But when people today are wearing a mask, already knowing that a mask cannot stop a virus, virus is way too much small. It just goes right through the mask. But today, in this day and age, when you see somebody wearing a mask, you need to say, Lord, how can I reach out to that person that I view it this way? That mask has masked around them, is choking them with fear.
Yeah.
And they are trying to mask, no pun intended, the fact that they don't want to die.
Yeah.
Well, that tells us right there, then and there, that's somebody I need to share Jesus
with.
That's
right, that's right.
They're just basically with the mask on, they're saying, I am terrified, scared to get sick, scared to die. I need help. Will somebody give me the gospel?
That's right. That's right. That's great. I love it. And that's the big thing the enemy used was fear with all that. That's what he's going to use again. I love something. I'm not going to get into it yet. We'll talk about your book in a little bit. But you said something in your book, which I loved. It really ministered to me. And that is when the headwinds are coming, you know, they're fighting against you. But that's what gives you that buoyancy to head up.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking for those out there, and we'll talk about it more in a moment. But for those out there with that kind of fear, look, it's the headwinds that can push that plane up when it comes under those wings, like Amen. You were talking about.
Amen.
And that's such an encouragement because our natural response oftentimes can be fear. But when you realize, wait a minute, I can use this fear to really take off. It's just a great thing. And it's going to happen again. It's coming. And we need to be ready. And it's going to be planned. That doesn't matter. It's going to be ready, and we've got to be ready as the church.
Well, you know what? Our good friend, he's now in heaven, but Dr. Ed Heinsohn at Liberty University said that God did not give us prophecy, Bible prophecy to scare us. He gave us Bible prophecy to prepare us.
That's right. That's right.
And I have noticed, and I know you have too as well, over the last 5 years, the people who know or have a good grasp on Bible prophecy, they were buoyant.
Yep.
They were joyful.
Yep.
they were secure.
Yeah.
And listen, God promoted them in ministry.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. Because there's hope.
There's always hope.
Yeah. It's funny. In your book, that's one of the things I underlined. It was his quote right there. It just really ministered to me in a great way. So, you know, look, we'll get to that more in a moment. I won't take too long on this. I want to shift gears again now and talk a little bit about Israel. There's so much to talk about with Israel. The first place I want to start is, and again, you know, we had a chance with Amir to kind of share some of this with our people here last week, but I wanted to get your perspective on it as well, because again, there's going to be people that are going to be listening to this, and there's so many things going on with Israel right now, false accusations, Gaza. I want to start there. We have the current threat right now with Iran, and whatever's going to happen could happen during the radio broadcast. We don't know.
That's right.
Any moment, right? But as far as the Gaza, just a little bit on, and we don't have to take a lot of time because I think a lot of people have spoken about it, but the whole genocide thing, the whole people starving to death thing, the whole, and the president saying the other day, look, there's a red line on Rafah. I want to get to that after these. What does that mean, and what do you anticipate happening with that? Just a little bit about Gaza before we move on to the other stuff. Kind of your perspective.
Absolutely. Number one, and this flies against emotion. Let's take our emotions off the page. Let's just talk pure truth. We're talking about the land of Israel right now in the 21st century.
Right.
That should wake everybody up. Why? Because the Bible said we would be talking about Israel in the 21st century. Right. Jerusalem would be the city of burden to all nations. That Israel would be surrounded by enemies that really have this one thing in common. They must cease to exist. Let's drive them into the sea.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Enter Gaza. What do you know from Gaza, Christian friends? What do you know from, where does Gaza pop up in your Bible? Gaza has always, for thousands of years, been the notorious place of Israel's local enemies. Right. I say local. Goliath, the Philistines, on and on it goes.
Yeah.
Having said that, I would just venture out to say that there are a people group there, we'll call them Palestinians, who many of them are being held captive themselves by Hamas.
Right.
Hamas has leveraged, and they leverage everything they get their hands on, to promote their cause to eradicate Israel, including Palestinians.
Yeah.
Enter this. You talked about people starving, the genocide, all of this. What's interesting is, all of a sudden, nobody is caring about October 7th.
Yeah.
That somehow is no longer justifiable for Israel to defend itself against those who say Israel must perish from off the face of the earth. Mm. But it's actual Hamas's war tactics to hide among civilians.
Absolutely.
Why? To play out the narrative that you're you're watching and
That's
hearing
right.
right now.
That's right.
Friends, don't fall for that lie. Listen, do innocent people die in war? Absolutely.
That's
it's tragic.
Right.
It's disgusting, but it's true. Bottom line is this. If your enemy is going to hide among civilians and you've got to go get them, that speaks more about the depravity of your enemy
That's right.
than you going in to eradicate.
That's right.
But what is good is now evil. What is evil is now good. What is light is dark. Dark is light. We're living in a topsy-turvy, upended world where Israel's the enemy and Biden is saying, you got to stop. No more help coming.
Yeah.
But the help that did arrive, Pastor Mark, you know, was, in fact, Franklin Graham has been keeping an eye on this. The help that did arrive was confiscated by Hamas to fuel their own forces, and the people are still hungry right now.
Yeah, hiding it in warehouses, right? They're taking it to warehouses.
Exactly.
And again, the world, all they see is they need supplies or whatever, and I don't see how they can't see it, but I don't think they want to see it. It's shocking to me how the whole media, the way it's presented is pretty, the enemy's good at what he does and the way he presents it. I saw just today, and you talked about them hiding behind civilians, just today, and again, Amir Stream, he gets the stuff. That guy never rests, and he's like constantly going or whatever. But he showed today, it's in Samaria, a town in Samaria, these kids coming down the street. I'm 12, 13 year old. They've got what look like real weapons, like ARs or whatever, AK, whatever. They look like real weapons.
I don't think there's any toy guns in
well, maybe
in that
they
part
were.
Of the world.
Either way, the bottom line was they're walking down the street making these chants, and it's almost like they're daring somebody, like Hamas is daring someone to wipe them out so they can go and say, look what Israel did to our kids. They set them up, and it's Hamas we hold accountable, not Israel. It's Hamas.
So let me just say this about the setup statement you just made a moment ago.
Yeah.
This is shocking. Most of your listeners are not going to want to hear this. In Islam, and especially the flavor that Hamas holds to, their children are taught in the Gaza, the Palestinian schools there, literally taught. I am not joking. They are actually taught growing up to hate the Jew and to someday maybe, if granted the honor by Allah, to give yourself your life for the killing of a Jew. Do you remember, Mark, when one of the guys, I assumed you saw the footage. I've seen the whole 90 minutes.
I haven't seen it all. No, only bits and pieces. I haven't seen it
I've seen it. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was invited by Israel to see it. I saw the whole thing unedited, beyond human.
Yeah.
Beyond human devastation upon another human being. Yeah. I believe it was demonic possession that did some of these things.
Yes.
Having said that, how do you deal with someone who's been brought up saying, if I die killing a Jew, I go to the front of the line in the Islamic heaven?
That's right.
And so it's systemic. And when they see it, they're proud of it. And that man grabbed the dead girl's phone and dialed his mom and dad, and he's weeping, saying, I have never had so much joy. I've just killed 10 Jews, mom. I just killed 10 Jews, dad. And they are saying, we could not be more proud of you. Friends, listen, I'm telling you with my hand on the Bible that I watched this, and it was translated out of Arabic into English for us. And I watched it unedited and real as it was captured. These are the body cams from Hamas themselves. And how do you combat that? How do you fight that? Israel's trying to do their best at it. But let's just remember this. Even these horrible news reports, the Bible foretold of these times.
Yeah.
And they're coming. More of them are coming. And we know it's going to happen more globally. Earthquakes, volcanoes, lawlessness. And these are not days to be afraid, friends.
Right.
These are days to grab your Bible and to tell your friends and your neighbors, hey, you know what? I just read this in the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't you think it kind of sounds like the news today?
Yeah.
Just start there. You don't have to say, repent and fall on your face. Just say, hey, neighbor, I just read this today that Jesus said in the last days there's going to be incurable diseases, earthquakes, and famines.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Just ask them the question and see what happens.
I love it. I love it. No, it's such an opportunity to share. It really is. And the thing, the hope we have, knowing what the Lord said, hey, he's about to come back.
Yeah.
You get excited. It's funny. Sometimes on the show, people say, how can you be excited when you're talking about these things that are going to be happening? So I'm not excited about the devastation.
No.
I'm not excited about the loss of life or all these things. I'm excited.
Absolutely.
Because what it means is the Lord is about to come back, and he's going to put an end to all of it forever, and then we get to be with him 1,000 years in the kingdom, and then forever after that, I can't wait.
You're getting me too excited.
I know. I'm sorry. I get excited. I can't help it. Go for it.
You're getting me too excited. It's not only true what Pastor Mark just said, but Jesus lays out this description of the Olivet Discourse, which people need to read carefully because it covers the time of the destruction of the temple, 70 AD, all the way out to the establishment of his reign from the city of Jerusalem on David's throne.
Right.
Where the millennium begins, okay? The Olivet Discourse. He said, after giving this huge list of woes and yikes and oh no's, in Luke 21:36, for example, he says, pray that you will be able to escape all of these things that are going to come to pass and stand before the Son of Man.
That's right.
That covers the age of the rapture, mm-hmm. our time now. Mm-hmm. But listen, it's also thrilling when he said, when you see all this stuff beginning, Mark, it's beginning to form. Gosh, I'm trying to watch the time clock.
No, you're good.
Listen, before the team plays, before they kick off, the team goes out and warms up. They throw some passes. They kick some balls. They're stretching on the field. Yeah. They're just warming up for the big event. Yeah. Friends, right now, on this moment, the world is warming up. It's so obvious. Everything we're talking about is global.
Yeah.
From North Korea to Israel to China to Russia to South America, everything is coming into the arena to be set up.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not saying that the end starts tomorrow. What we're saying is the setup has begun.
That's right. That's right.
For the clock to start. The kickoff is very near. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up because your redemption draws near.
I love it. It's got to be like, right, I mean, again.
Heck, let's just go now, Mark.
Let's do that. Getting me fired up about it. That's great. I'm excited. I mean, you can't help but be excited.
Right.
And that's the great thing about prophecy. That's what I love about prophecy, again, because it is exciting because the Lord did tell us and people want to know. Okay, what about, okay, the red line of the president? Okay, he says, if you go into Rafah, first of all,
red
Rafah.
Red line for today.
Yeah, Rafah. Yeah, you're right. But Rafah, again, being there on the border of Egypt and there, and again, they're all of Hamas kind of squished down in there because they've kind of cornered them. You got to go in to cut off the head of the snake. You can't stop now. And so there's all this pressure. Don't go in, don't do it. The enemy, and I speak spiritually as well, screaming his head off. The president comes out and says, here's my red line. What is your point? I haven't heard what his red line is. What does that mean? And what happens when Israel does it anyway? Because they have resolved this time. You know, Jack, they haven't had in the past. They usually give in when America, you know, the big brother gives them pressure. This time, they're like, no, they killed 1,200 of our people, raped. They did horrible things, like you said. We're not stopping. And so they're going to do it. I believe that. What does that mean? And what do you think his red line is?
Okay, wow, what a question, because it forces you and I, with our Bibles open, to talk politics. Here's the reason why. This is truly politics,
right,
ladies and gentlemen.
That's all right.
We're talking about the Biden administration drawing a red line, which tragically changes from day to day.
Right.
And you've got a divided, by the way, you've got a divided cabinet and a divided Congress that are saying, we will not comply with Biden's red line. Well, what is that red line? Biden says, if you do not cease fire immediately, Israel, then we're going to cut off supply and aid to you. And then Israel makes an overture of a ceasefire, and Hamas rejects it.
Yeah.
You have to understand something. And I'm coming from the angle where Amir and I have the exact same mindset, because he's in the Middle East. I've been so much in the Middle East. It's this. In Islam, and in the global jihad, there is a term. Now, my Arabic might be failing me on this, but it might be the word hudna. And it means this, that when you're getting your face beat in and you're losing the battle, call for a treaty. It's an Islamic war tactic. Saladin did it. All Islamic warriors did it. The Ottoman Empire did it. It's a tactic because it plays upon a Judeo-Christian worldview, that when somebody says, wait, cease fire, we need a... And there's no more emotional thing to drop into that context than an humanitarian need.
Yep.
The Judeo-Christian worldview is a sucker for that.
Yeah.
And so what happens? Hamas is going to rearm. Hamas is going to reposition.
Yep.
It gives Hamas more time to gain more international public opinion.
Yep.
Israel is the only country among nations that are free. All the Islamic nations know exactly what's going on.
Right.
Egypt, listen, you think Egypt wants people from Palestine into Egypt? They won't let them.
No way. I know.
They won't let them, Mark.
I know. Because they know what they're like. They know what's going to happen.
Jordan, King Abdullah, won't do it either. The thing is this. Hi, I'm a Muslim terrorist Hamas person. We're really getting the snot beat out of us, and Israel looks like they're going to finally eradicate us after all this terrorism. We're going to call for a timeout, and that lets the world pile on Israel and get upset with them.
Yeah.
We're going to drape it with humanitarian cries and pleas.
Yeah.
while we go back into our closet and reassemble and regroup.
Yeah.
And everybody in the Middle East knows this. Honestly, it's the blind American, it's the blind Westerner that gets sucked into the emotional plea of, oh my gosh, there's people starving. Yeah, there is. Hamas is starving them to
That's
death
right.
to get you to feel bad and blame it on Israel.
Yeah. But the thing is, our government knows that. I mean, the Americans may not know that. They have to know. They know what's going on.
We
yeah. know. So a red line, I don't, again, cut off supplies.
Where?
Yeah. 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 So
listen, here's Mark. You and I, everyone listening right now, has benefited in our life from our nation being favorable toward Israel, Genesis 12.
That's right.
We have now, and it pains me to say this, in the last week and a half, our nation has done the most about-face on the nation of Israel than we ever have in our entire existence.
That's right.
You do not do that to the apple of my eye, says God. I'm not going to mention their name. They're a very prominent member of Congress and the House Intelligence Committee. Texted me the other day and said, well, we're turning the Eisenhower around and we're sending it back in to the Mediterranean. And I said, there's two places on earth I'd rather not be. I'd rather not be in the White House at a time like this.
Yeah.
And I'd rather not be on the Eisenhower at a time like this.
Yeah.
Why? It pains me to say this. U.S. Marine Corps, my life, growing up in a Marine Corps home. We go now, we go without God.
Yeah.
We have kicked him out of our schools, our courts, our civic centers. We have kicked God out of our government. I'm not allowed to pray in Jesus' name anymore. Do you think God is going to go with us into battle?
Yeah, no way.
I've read Deuteronomy 28. He is not going with us to battle.
Yeah, it's scary. It's really scary. And then, and that's just, again, right after the whole thing that happened, of course, you know, this last, you know, on Easter, where he makes this proclamation, and then now you go right into what's happening to Israel. It's like, you know, it's one thing.
That's evidence.
And so here's the thing. It's one thing, you know, Jack, to say, okay, look, our nation's, you know, doing this, turning away, whatever. That's one thing, and that's bad enough. But this is almost to a point now to where it's like, in your face. It's like, I'm going to make a statement, and I don't care. And that's what's going to happen. As you know, when we're out of here, the Great Tribulation, they're going to be shaking their fist at heaven. And it's almost like we have this precursor, the headwinds to the storm. It's already happening. And here's the thing, too. America has always been kind of the one, like, can God use? He can use anybody. But, I mean, who would God use if something major happened to kind of rescue the world right now? America's been the one that God could use. Who do you have?
Let me dial down on your point.
Okay.
Can somebody out there name me a global world leader right now that's setting the tone and tenor of the world for good?
Yeah.
Can you name one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, right now, Mark, the world is leaderless.
You're right. Exactly. There's not one. And I can't remember a time, of course, I mean, really, my lifetime, but even looking back historically since America, there's always been leaders. We don't have them.
No.
We don't have them. And so it's very precarious. I don't really know where we're going to be or if we're going to be or what's going to be. But, you know, the reality is the reality.
I tell you what, if you're not a Christian, seriously, If you're out there, man, and you're not a Christian, you're not a Christ follower, listen, Pastor Mark are not saying join our churches. We're not saying come be a Calvary Chapel person. Don't go be a Catholic, a Baptist, a Lutheran, a Methodist. It's not going to do anything for you. Are you a follower of Jesus? Because if you're not, you better have a really good excuse, and oh, guess what? You really don't.
Yeah.
Get your eyes off of people and whether church hurt you 2 years ago or 50 years ago or this denomination and that pope or pastor or priest said this or the other. Yeah. Can you forget about everybody and dial down on Jesus and knows that he loves you? He died on the cross for your sins. Everything that's happening, Pastor Mark and I are talking about what's falling into place. Nothing about what's falling apart. Nothing's falling apart.
That's right.
It's all falling into line. That's friends, listen, the same God that is setting the stage is the same God that said that he loves you and he died on the cross for your sins.
That's right.
And he wants you to come to him.
That's right. I love it. And we'll give him an opportunity before we're done, because I'll have you finish with prayer. We'll give him a chance to do that, even with us on the air. But changing gears again now, going to third gear, staying in Israel, the current threat. They go in, they get some guys there in Syria. Oh, we got time. We have another 27 minutes here.
No, you and I have 27 minutes. I looked at my watch wondering, does Israel have 27 minutes?
Oh, I got you. I see your watch. I thought you were worried about the radio. I thought, no, we're okay. You're right. You're exactly right. But they're saying any moment, of course, they've been saying that for a while, as retaliation, they're going to, like, you know, and again, what Amir said, he said he doesn't think they're going to do anything from Iranian soil into Israel to try to use all their proxies. But again, they're still questioned about that, but they're loading up all the drones on the Syrian border and all this stuff. So what do you think? I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen, but what's your idea about what you see happening, Israel's response, and what does that do in kind of looking at this thing where we are currently? I mean, we don't know, but it is interesting, and there's some quite a few scenarios. You got Damascus, you got Ezekiel. I mean, there's several things, but I want to hear your feedback on that.
Okay, if I had to write it down, and Amir and I have not talked recently. I didn't know that he had said that. I believe this. It's too obvious to Israel that a launch would come from Iran. That if I understand Isaiah 17 right. properly regarding Damascus, right. it makes absolute sense to me that either Iran and or Russia and or whatever player else will launch something from the northern regions of Israel, quite possibly out of the regions of Damascus. I say the regions of Damascus, Damascus being a city. I find it fascinating, Mark, that at such a great price and a great expense, if you I'm sure you remember, when ISIS, remember pre-Trump era, ISIS swept through Damascus and killed every Christian that they could find. The rest of them fled into Europe and into Turkey. Having said that, Damascus is Christianless by and large. Now, if there's Christians there right now, they're undercover.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in Isaiah that whatever happens regarding Damascus, it is going to be so devastated that no one will ever inhabit it again.
Yeah.
Okay? So having said that, is it possible that a launch of some sort of retaliation against Israel comes out of the Damascus area, and I'll explain why I say area in a moment, and the response by Israel will fulfill Isaiah 17, where there's some form of detonation. Now, I say detonation with this. Do you remember, I'm almost being sarcastic, I know Pastor Mark does, but do you guys all remember when Colin Powell went to the United Nations with John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and Bush advisors, and they showed the United Nations the weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had moved out of Iraq into Syria. They showed the footage, they showed the videos, and they showed the images. And the entire United Nations, hello, everybody, wake up call. The Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Colin Powell, George Bush, and all the UN voted in a massive, largest coalition ever to go against Saddam Hussein. Anybody remember that? Do you want to know why they all voted? Because the 109 Squadron, known as the Valley Squadron, Valley being the Valley of Megiddo, the Israeli 109 Intelligence Squadron, Gathering Information Squadron, took photographs flying over Iraq, giving that data in conjunction with U.S. intelligence, including satellites, including the Dragon, if you know, it's a highly advanced version of the U-2.
Okay.
All of this data correlated to the point where our entire Congress voted, yes, let's go to war,
right,
including Hillary Clinton.
Right, right.
Okay, why? Because the evidence of mass destruction was proven.
Yep.
They were put in Damascus. Friends, if those weapons are still hiding out somewhere in an underground warehouse in Damascus, and somebody trips over a firecracker and sets those things off, Jeremiah and Isaiah combined together say a fire will begin in the wall of Damascus. And when that thing goes off, it says no one will ever inhabit that city again. Whoa. So you might say, Jack, you're crazy. Really? Well, then so is Hillary Clinton, George Bush, General Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Wait, Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzkopf.
What's his name?
Schwarzkopf.
Oh, yeah. Schwarzkopf. You know.
The muscle guy.
No, you know General Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Getting the chopper.
General Schwarzkopf, all of them were somehow duped.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They had the data. We saw the data. And Israel, Mark, told to my face.
Yeah.
Pastor Hibbs, our team flew those squadrons and provide. In fact, Amir said to me, I'd like you to meet this man. Hi, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Can I ask you a question, sir? Yes, you may, I said. He said, why is your president a liar? And at that time, Bush was in office. I said, what are you talking about? And then he began to tell me that the United States hired Israel to take photographs and intel to corroborate our U.S. intelligence regarding the first Gulf War and the claim of weapons of mass destruction. They're there, and they're in Damascus.
So this is amazing. This is, you made a connection there to me that is huge. I remember seeing all that, and what got me was, why did suddenly it disappear and everyone say it never existed, and now the big deal? But why would America want to hide all that because they let it get away? So I know you don't have the answers, but that is huge, Jack. That is huge, because you're exactly right. I didn't think, if somebody puts something there in Damascus, when does it go out, and how big does it? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
That is huge.
It's huge.
Because you wonder, when's that going to happen? How could that happen? I don't see Israel dropping a nuke on there because they know what that would do to, as far as the world and them. And yet something's going to happen that it becomes, like you said, I mean.
Well, and not only is something going to happen, but let's say Israel doesn't do anything. Let's just say Israel's defending itself against Iran. Somebody could set something off, and you know Israel's going to get blamed for it anyway.
That's right. That's exactly right. But my goodness, I mean, and you talk about an excuse to go in, but I mean, if Damascus, what does that do? I think about that. You know, how does that do as far as them coming in from the north and where they come in from and Russia and Iran? I mean, as far as the timing of all that, because if it's that large of a detonation.
I'm just one reporter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can all read the Bible for ourselves. There's two things that are clear. How it works, I don't know.
Right.
Damascus will be completely obliterated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I should say three things that are clear. Damascus will be completely obliterated. The Bible says Israel in the Ezekiel 38 battle will be invaded from the north.
Right.
Okay. But what's interesting to me is all of those nations that are surrounding Israel right now that are written in the Bible, Ezekiel 38.
Right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Guess what country's not mentioned out of all of them? At this moment, they're all in agreement. Let's destroy Israel.
Right.
In the Ezekiel 38 battle, there's one country that's a player today that's not mentioned. And they're devoted to the destruction of Israel. That nation? Syria.
Interesting.
Think about it. Go read Ezekiel 38. The nations that are listed, Syria's not listed.
Wow.
Why? It may be that the Damascus event takes place beforehand.
Wow. So that could be
I think Isaiah 17 could be the basis of the argument to trigger those Islamic nations that are all listed. They're all Islamic.
Yeah.
But it's going to trigger them in their frenzy.
Right.
As normal. But notice it says that God says, I will speak to Gog, G-O-G. The prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal.
Right.
I will put hooks into your jaws and what? Turn you around and pull you into my land.
Right.
Mark, if God has to put a hook in that nation of the north and turn it around, it implies that it doesn't want to get involved in what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God say, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw and pull you around?
Right, right.
I think one of the reasons is today, as you and I sit here, Iran and Russia have a mutual pact of peace agreement or against war.
Right.
If somebody attacks Russia, Iran's going to help. If somebody attacks Iran, Russia's going to help.
Right.
It's very possible in that region that when this thing gets set off, that we know that Persia is modern day Iran. We know that Persia is going to be a very big player.
Right.
Not the only player, but a big one. Syria is interestingly not even mentioned.
I never thought about the fact that it wasn't mentioned. I just picture them being a part of it because it's coming in from the north.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought about the fact they're not mentioned. So when you say, I know, and I see the same thing, the hook, turn them around. That was my thing. Like they've got to either be going and pulled back in or just pulled in. Either way, they're pulled in. How big of a presence does Russia have now? I mean, currently there, do you know? I mean, I know they're all over the place, but is it like to the point to where, I mean, this is huge. They can they could move like now and have enough forces, or would they have to bring more in, or how would that work?
Well, you all know that Russia moves not so much by stealth and by trickery. Russia moves by slow, methodical brutality.
Right.
You've just seen it in the Ukraine. It's the way they work. They've always worked this way. Where China, on the other hand, is very, very savvy, very much about surprise. Tragically, the United States has been a real sucker for surprises. September 11th, December 7th, 1941, those kinds of things. So I think that with what we're looking at, we know for a fact that this is the most Russian buildup of military personnel north of the Israeli-Syrian, Israeli-Lebanese border since 1973. This is the biggest.
Right.
So why are they there? What's going on? Somebody should stop and say, Russia, why are you here?
Right.
We get it that it's against Israel and Syria or against Israel and Iran, but why are you here? Well, the reason why they're there, in fact, I think Ezekiel again alludes to it, that all the nations, when they attack, all the nations are going to physically say to them, have you come to take a spoil right. into the land of undwalled villages?
Right.
Have you come to take their goods? And I do believe that's part of it, but I think Russia knows we better keep Islam somehow appeased. And if we've got to sacrifice Israel to keep the Islamic population within Russia calm, then that's what we'll have to do.
Wow.
But this is no secret. Vladimir Putin hates Islam. He hates it.
Right.
He's very, very, if some of you remember how he dealt with Chechnya,
right.
you got to remember the rhetoric about Chechnya being blamed for some things is that he hates Islam.
Yeah.
And by the way, look at Xi Jinping of China. Look at the Uyghurs. Mm-hmm. China hates Islam.
Yeah.
But Islam's a useful idiot, so to speak, a useful tool
right.
in the Middle East for the Soviets and for the Chinese.
So it's going to be enough to pull them in. I mean, because that pact they've made, and of course, we know they're probably going in for what? The natural gas, the oil,
oh,
I mean, the stuff. I mean,
goodness.
Yeah, there's so much to get with Leviathan, the other
Leviathan
stuff.
And
now
and
Golan. I mean, I don't know if they've started trying to pull oil out of that yet or not, but I mean.
Golan. Isn't it amazing? A state the size of New Jersey
yeah.
is not only a regional superpower,
yeah.
its economy is one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
The shekel is incredible. If you can get one, hang
it's
on
just,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's just going up right now.
Oh,
more, yeah, the
man,
market. Yeah, yeah.
I blew it years ago.
Yeah.
but this is that. This little nation has survived all these years and prospered, and it's so beautiful. And all their enemies around them want them destroyed. Gee, all that's biblical. But the thing is, and again, now, insert one reporter's opinion. We pulled out of Afghanistan, and in less than 96 hours, ladies and gentlemen, some of you painfully went through this, less than 96 hours, the Chinese swept into Afghanistan and seized the largest lithium storehouse in the world is Afghanistan. And you need lithium for batteries. Okay? Now, China controls that through Afghanistan. You think Russia is going to let China take Israel? There's no way.
That's right.
So I think
that's
they're gonna right. they'll act very fast because if they don't, in other words, they're gonna have to say we can't move slow on this one. We must move fast. Yeah. We can't do slow and brutal. We must go quick. Why? Because China's so quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And China is quick. China will not be allowed to move in. Like they were allowed to move into Afghanistan.
Interesting.
Russia cannot
Very
afford that.
Well, and we know that biblically they won't anyway. I mean, the Bible makes that clear, so we know
there
that.
You go.
But that there's the logic behind it.
There
so it makes total sense. Now, all right, great. Shift gears again, going into fourth.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk just a minute about your book.
Yeah.
Okay. And I loved it. I read it. I loved it. I've got it underlined. I've got it dog-eared. I've got stuff in there. It was great. No, I loved it. And it was just, it really nailed what's going on as far as the days of deception. I like the D-A-Z-E. I like the whole, you know, idea yeah. behind that. But again, you know, we could go where to go on that. You know, what was that more of kind of a conglomeration of teachings you did and put together? Was that something that God put in your heart? I'm going to do this right now because of where we are. But how did they come together? And then where are we in that? I mean, talk a little bit about it for our listeners that haven't heard, because it's really just right on for where we are today. Right on.
I'm going to talk fast. The origin of it, the genesis of it, was during COVID.
Okay.
Church is completely packed, people sitting on the floor, hanging out the doors, thousands of people everywhere coming, parking, traffic jam, everything crazy. And this is not what a pastor wants to hear. When I start meeting people, I'm meeting people who are telling me, oh, my church is closed, so I've come here. And a pastor wants to hear his church grow by conversion, not by relocation.
Right.
And that really kind of bummed me out. I didn't let anybody know that, but I'm like, Lord, I don't want a bunch of Christians here. I want a bunch of non-believers
here. You still got conversions there too, though. I know that.
Yes, so, it's yes, true. You do. It's true. I'm not complaining. So what happened was people, I'm not kidding, Mark, verbatim, I heard it so many times, people would say, Pastor Jack, we heard you. I was teaching in 2 Peter at the time.
Right.
Pastor Jack, we just heard you a moment ago. You said that unless, what was that verse you said? Jesus said, unless we're born again, we'll not see the kingdom of heaven. Wow. I've never heard that before.
Wow.
And I said,
wow.
I'm sorry, but can you tell me what church you came from? Just tell me the church. I don't want to know the pastor's name. Just tell me where you came from.
Yeah.
Well, this church, that church, this thing, that thing. Mark, I was so sick to my stomach that people were telling me, yeah, I've gone there for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. And you've never heard the word harpazo?
Yeah.
Or it's rapture in Latin?
Yeah.
It's caught up in English? You've never heard that before? Never heard about Bible prophecy before. And I said, that's it. So I did a series called Living in the Days of Deception. And I told them up front, you guys don't even know what you believe. If I picked on any one of you right now in class and tell me, are you a Christian? Yep. Tell me why.
Yeah.
They couldn't tell me why, which means they're not a Christian.
Yep. That's right.
If you can't define what it is you believe, then how do you know you believe it?
That's right. That's right.
They were dazed. And then I looked at people who had been ravaged by COVID's fear. Dazed.
Yeah.
Politicians were dazed. Pastors were dazed. Everybody was dazed.
Yeah.
And so it became very clear, oh my gosh, we're dazed by deception in politics, dazed by deception in theology, dazed in deception by Israel, regarding Israel,
right?
Dazed regarding the deception of our nation itself, how it was founded, it's where it's going, dazed in your marriage, dazed in raising your children, an overwhelming daze in your life unless Jesus Christ is truly your guiding light and compass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had no idea, Pastor Mark, that we took that sermon and I enhanced my notes, added to my notes. My notes are kind of sketchy. They're very little. So I had to write and did transcripts of the sermons, put it all together. And the beautiful people at Harvest House took on that project. And it was released on February 6th. And it has just absolutely, I think we're... It's been amazing.
Yeah,
incredible sales. It was one on USA Today.
Yeah.
God has blessed
that's
it.
Great.
But here's the reason why. We're happy that the sales has been predominantly in secular settings.
Right.
In other words, Amazon or Barnes & Noble has been a big source. Why is that?
Interesting.
Because people are scared.
Yeah.
People are fearful. They see the title. D-A-Z-E is large.
Mm-hmm.
And when they walk by, they see days.
Yeah.
And it catches them thinking, gosh, I feel like I'm in a day. I'm in a days. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty soon we're going to start posting some of the testimonies that we received from non-believers and believers alike.
I love it. I love it. And really what it boils down to is what we were weaned on with Pastor Chuck from the very beginning of the Calvary Chapel movement. It's a lack of the teaching of the Word of God in the churches and everywhere. People don't know the word, so they're in that confusion because there's no standard. They have no moorings.
Exactly.
And so again, but I love it. I think it's timely, and I'm excited about it. So I mean, I had to mention it. And
thank
again,
you. Thank
so,
you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And again, you of course on Amazon and other places, people can pick that up. As far as
Amazon.com is really efficient. As you guys know, they'll get it to you like tonight.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. All right, now if I put it in fifth, I'm watching the clock. And I want to give time here for you to give someone to give opportunity to receive the Lord before we're done and then finish out with what we're doing here. We have a couple of minutes. And we've really kind of covered, I guess, this subject pretty good. But overall, prophetic update. I know that's a big thing to say in a snapshot. But What are the next things? I know we're looking for the rapture, the next thing. I know we talked about Damascus, but when you look at the world and some of the connections you have in Washington, because you've got connections and, you know, it's kind of like with the mirror. He hears things that I could never hear. You're hearing things I could never hear. And so I love to hear you guys because I glean from it. What are you seeing? And if there's not anything jumping out, that's fine. But is there anything you would say right now that you say, this is kind of what's happening, and especially as we head toward the election or whatever, just kind of prophetic update. Is there anything that jumps out other than kind of the subjects we've already covered that you have that may be behind the scenes type stuff?
I'll put it this way. There is an under the surface current that has caused people in the know, I'm trying to say this safely,
okay,
that have severe doubts that there'll be an election in November.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. That's interesting. Go ahead.
The second thing is that the United States, regarding its dollar, thus influence, thus position, is to be soon realized as that which is gone.
Yeah.
We are currently living on perception right now. Our freedom, our power, and our liberty as our government is a perception. Yep. It's not a reality, and that's about to be discovered soon.
Yeah.
It won't be long. It pains me to say this, but unless God intervenes, if he does intervene, Pastor Mark, in America, it will be in the pulpit.
Right.
It's not going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to be in the state house.
You're right. It'll be revival.
And it won't be in the White House.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
And you got to ask yourself, friends, does God care about the state house or the White House more than the church house?
Yeah.
He cares about the church house more.
That's right.
Unless God intervenes, unless there's a Nineveh moment, the United States of America has played its role in history.
Yeah.
And it has expired.
The best I think we can hope for is a Nineveh moment for a little bit of an extension, because Nineveh, you know, as you know, they ended up getting judged, but yeah, they got an extension.
I think it was a 40-year extension.
Yeah, they got an extension. That's it. And look, you know, hey, an extension waiting for the rapture, that would be great. And I'd love to see that kind of extension. Amen. But yeah, if not, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. Now, we've talked about a lot of things today, and a lot of people who know the Lord are excited. A lot of people who listen, and I know we have listeners who don't know the Lord, mm-hmm, and God has them tune in, and they are not so excited. They're a little bit afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know the Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity to lead them to share how they can know the Lord before we wrap this up and with some final things and talk about what you're going to be doing this weekend. But if you would, just right now, just share with how someone can come to know Christ if they're listening right now and they've never met the Lord.
Yeah, listen, friends, what Pastor Mark and I have been talking about actually, and I hope you've enjoyed this, believe it or not, is not religion. Have you noticed that? We have been talking about what the Bible has to say. And we've taken the Bible today and we've held it up against the actions and the events of our world right now that we're living in. That's how the Bible works,
right?
Because it's an eternal book and he's an eternal God. And the Holy Spirit is with you right now. You could be angry, hurt, bitter. Your marriage could be messed up. Your child could have just died. You're just now driving home from the doctor and they told you you don't have long to live. Listen, I'm happy to tell you right now, Pastor Mark and I are happy to tell you right now, that you can live forever. And you can have peace even now in the midst of storms, because Jesus Christ, according to this incredible prophetic book, the Bible, it was prophesied in advance that Christ would come and die on the cross for all of our sins. But not only that, he not only died for our sins as our atonement, but 3 days later, according to the Bible, he rose again from the dead. He's the risen Lord and Savior. He's God incarnate. That is, he came to this world born as a baby, to live a life that you and I live, to feel what we feel, to suffer what you and I suffer, and yet he did that without sinning. He was the perfect sacrifice so that he could purchase for you the perfect salvation. It's not in your priest, it's not in your pastor, it's not in your pope. It's not anywhere else but in Jesus. And it's Pastor Mark and I's desire that you would simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, if these things are true of what they're talking about, that you died for me, I want my guilt, my shame, my sin washed away from me. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I need your saving. And so I confess right now that Jesus Christ died for me and that he rose again from the dead for me. I give him my life now. I hand the controls over to him, over to you, Lord, from this moment forward, because I'm going to be your follower. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Jack, thank you so much. Look, if you guys want to talk to somebody, you can call the church, 865-609-1385. There'll be a pastor here to talk to you. But Pastor Jack, thank you so much for being here. We were so blessed. This was great. And for those of you listening, if you didn't know this, Jack will be with us Saturday night for our service at 6 o'clock, and then both Sunday morning services, 9 and 11. And so we'd love to have you. Be sure and come early. You can't save seats, but you can come in and get in when you can. But again, I want to encourage you to be here. And again, I just want to say thank you so much. It's been a joy. It's been a blessing. And I'm excited about what God's already doing. And by the way, Lisa Hibbs, your wife, is doing our women's conference, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're just getting double blessed. I think we brought all of Chino Hills to Knoxville.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's been great being with you, Pastor Mark.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. So.
All right, Pastor Jack is heard weekday afternoons at 4:30 right here on WIAM 101.1 FM or streamed through our Way Media app. For the radio station nearest you or to learn more about Pastor Jack and his ministry, just go to jackhibbs.com. And again, Pastor Jack will be here for all of our services Saturday night and Sunday morning, and hope to see you back here next Friday for more Signs of the Times.
Alone, we could